And I want to begin with this. I want to ask you a question. What is it God really wants from you or from me? Really, really. I mean, when it boils down to our lives and it boils down to God, what is it that God really desires and really wants from you and I? And what is that challenge there? And I want to make sure I want you to understand what it is. You know, is it holiness? I mean, God wants holiness. Is that really, really all God wants? Just be a holy people. Is it perfection? Keeping the commandments? Remember that one time that guy comes to Jesus and says, what do I got to do to get to heaven? And Jesus said, well, what do you think? It's kind of like what I'm saying now. What do you think? And the guy goes, well, I've kept the Ten Commandments since I was young. Yeah. Is that really what God wants? And then Jesus responds with the question, like with a response like this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and all your strength. And the second is like, love the Lord, love your neighbor as yourself. See, what I'm going to tell you, what God really wants from you and I is a relationship. That is God's desire. When I'm walking in a relationship with God, that holiness will be there. That obedience will be there. That character, all those other things will grow out of that relationship. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is that relationship with God and how hard it is. You can look at the titles here. Because the key to that relationship is prayer. The key to our relationship with God is prayer. And we're going to look at that this morning. And so as we go through the series of messages, here's what I want to talk about. Why should I pray? Why should I pray? And then what should I pray? When should I pray? I'm going to really get into some details about how this all plays out. Because see, we live these busy lives. I don't think any of us, if I ask you, do you have any spare time? Would anybody say, yeah, I have spare time? I don't care what age you are, where you're at in life, we are all busy. It's like, when Christmas is over, things will slow down. Does it really? I mean, really, Christmas is over, life has slowed down. You guys are a little subdued. Maybe you partied too much this week. I don't know. But you guys are really quiet and subdued and kind of kicking back right now. I got to get you into this. You're going to have some fun this morning as we look at God's Word. But I, you know, what does it he want? We're busy. And I want to talk about 60 seconds every 60 minutes. See, there are some that maybe if we get twice a year, you know, Christmas and Easter with God, they did good. Yeah. Maybe there's some that we can get 1 week, you know, Sunday morning. I'm in relationship with God Sunday morning, and then you go out to your busy week. Maybe you got a home group you go to, and maybe it's twice a week. I want us to think about how's that related. How would that work for Laura and I? You know, I went off to college, and Laura and I got married, and she had to graduate school early so we could get married because I was graduating junior college. She graduated high school a year early. I mean, you don't want a long-distance relationship, right? Yeah. She didn't want to let me get away. You know, and I was such a good catch. Come on now. Help me out here. Yeah. And so we got married, and we go down to college. And you know what I did? I engulfed myself in two things, school and work. And she will tell you the same thing. She put up, I was glad she was young and didn't understand all the other stuff because she hung around through that time. I mean, all I did, I went to school full-time, and I worked full-time. We'd see each other at 6:30 in the morning. And we'd see each other when she'd pick me up at work, somewhere between 10, 11, and midnight when she'd pick me up for work. We'd come home, she'd go to bed, I'd sit down and do homework. Get up at 6:30, have breakfast together, and say goodbye. That was, I mean, what kind of relationship is that? What would you guys think? How many of you wives would go, yeah, uh-huh, you're on your own now, aren't you? Yeah. You don't want a relationship like that. You want a relationship where there's some more communication, and there's some more fellowship, and there's something there. Well, that's what God wants. In the midst of our busy lives, how do we find time for God? And then what do I do during that time? Is it just, well, I'm going to be with God and be silent? Well, it could be. Just be with God and just be quiet. Is it a moment of silence? Well, yeah, it could be. And so this series of messages, I want to talk about how can I take 1 minute out of every 60 minutes and just fellowship with God. Be with God. Listen and share and be in relationship with God. So that's our challenge over this next week, over these next few weeks. How does that play out? How do we make that work? Jesus said it this way. Look at what Jesus says. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray. Why don't you circle always pray and not give up? Always pray. See, prayer is our way to be in relationship with God. It is through that prayer. And see, that's what makes it so intimate. We use that word prayer and it's kind of like, well, if I use the word relationship, that makes sense. I'm going to be in relationship with God. That relationship is that prayer relationship. But what does that mean? How does that play out? How does that work in my life? I'm busy. I got places to go, things to do, people to see. I'm busy. 60 seconds every 60 minutes. Why should I do that? Why should I pay attention to spending time with God? Why should I pray? Why should I have a time in my life with God? And so I want to look at that this morning. If you have your little outline, I want to encourage you to get it out. It has this verse and several others we're going to look at this morning. And I'm going to begin with this statement right here. God is God, and I'm not. All right? God is God, and I'm not God. All right? I've got to start with this. Life demands for me and for you a God. We need, see, by definition, I'm going to give you a definition of God. A definition of God is this way. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere present. That's God. All right? And there can only be one. Listen to me, there can only be one. See, there could be more than one when it comes to being all-knowledgeable. There could be a lot of people who have all the knowledge. There could be many gods, small g, that have all the knowledge. There could be many gods and all in every place and everywhere. But when it comes to all powerful, there can only be one. Because if there's more than one, then you're not all powerful. And see, for me to define God, there can only be one. Because if there's somebody equal in power, they're not all powerful. They have an equal. And I always look, if Roman had all their gods and the Greeks with their gods, because they had them each categorized. But for God to be God, he has to be all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere. And there can only be one. There can't be many. Just by nature, there can only be one. Because if there's more than one, then he's not all-powerful. And the reality is, guess what? I'm not God. I'm not all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present. But there is only one God. Look what the scripture says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. There is only one. And I want to tell you something. You're not God either, okay? In case you had a big head somewhere, you're not God. You may think you are. You may want your spouse to think you are. But you are not God, and I'm not. We're not God. And we need God. I don't know about you, but I need a God. I need a God who watches over me, who protects me, who empowers me, who guides me, who's with me. I need that presence. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You need that presence of a God who's going to be there. Because life is not easy. Life can be cruel. Life can be hard. There's stress and there's anxiety. Look at what it says. Oh, let me go. Okay, that's my last verse. I forgot I put this in between. Anybody here have a dog? Anybody? I don't see any hands going up. Anybody got a dog? All right. Everybody, okay, you got a dog. You get a dog, and you feed the dog. You pet the dog. You care for the dog. You take care of the dog. We got a little picture of a dog up here. And you take care of this little puppy dog. And the dog looks at you, and you are master. You are God. Am I right? You're providing for it. You're caring for it. You're taking care of that dog, and you are God to that dog. Does anybody have a cat? Anybody got a stinking cat? All right. Now, you got a cat. All right. Now, you feed that cat, and you brush that cat, and you care for that cat, and you watch over that cat. And that cat looks up at you and says, I must be God. Am I right? Come on now, those who have cats, do cats think they're gods? Yeah. I'm going to ask you, who are you? You know, who are you? You know, are you like the dog? God petting you and caring for you, watching over you? And he's there. I'm not God, and God's there for me, and he's going to be with me and help me and care for me and feed me and clothe me, and I'm never going to be alone, and he's God, and he's my God. Or are you like a cat? I've got this. Everything's under control. I can take care of it. Don't worry about it. I'm talented, I'm skilled, I work hard. You know, when you live like that, what you're saying, I'm going to tell you something. If you live a life where you think you've got everything under control and you can handle anything and there's nothing you can't do, then you think you're God. And you're not. I hate to disappoint you, you're not God. All right? We need God. We need a God who watches over us. And there's only one of those. Look again, let's go to that scripture now. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. When life is stressed and life is struggling and life is in trouble, go to God. This is what's so amazing to me as a pastor. You know how many times I've been told I don't believe in God? I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe in church. I don't believe there's a God. And then there's a crisis in somebody's life. Something happens. Car accident, health issue. I don't know what it is. There's a crisis in somebody's life. And the phone rings and it's that person that says, I don't believe in God. I got everything under control. I can take care of anything. And they call me on the phone and they're saying, can you what? Pray for me. I don't need God. I'm God myself. And yet when there's a crisis in it, can you pray for me? See, we try to walk this line that I can take care of myself. You know, I grew up, I'm the one who believes in that. You need to know I'm one. Parents didn't pay for my college. I got $20 a month when I was in college from our parents. That's it. We left college owing $200. Had no debt. Government didn't give me any money. No, I mean, I did my, Laura and I, she worked, I worked. Like I told you, we went off to work. It was real interesting. I went to school in the mornings, worked at night. Laura worked at days and went to school at night. And that's how we didn't need anybody. I don't need anybody. You know what? I do need somebody. I need God. See, I need to pray because I need God because I'm not God. I need help in life. I need patience. I need encouragement. I need strength. I need guidance. I need care. I need love. I need God, and I'm not God. Does that make sense? You need to pray because you need God. That's one reason to pray. You need God. Don't think you don't. Oh, I can handle it. I'm sure you can until there's a crisis. You're going to call your friends. You're going to call others and say, so-and-so had a heart attack, my wife, my spouse, my kids had an accident. Please pray. But then you're going to say, I don't need God. You need to pray because you need God. And what's so exciting to me about this, what's so encouraging to me about this is, yes, I need God, but you know what? God wants me. Look at the next point. God wants a relationship with me. This is what's exciting for me. I need God, and what's great to know is that God wants me. That God has chosen me. That God wants a relationship with me. Have you ever wanted a relationship? You know, had your heart broken? Come on now. You ever want a relationship with someone? You know, you fell in love, or at least you thought you were, and they broke your heart? Come on now. You guys know what I'm talking about. You ever wanted that relationship and they turned their back on you? You ever had a friend that betrayed you? You ever been stabbed in the back? What's so exciting about God is, yes, I need God, but what makes it so exciting is He wants me. He wants me to be in relationship with me. It's not like, well, come if you want, you know. He just turns his back and walks away. Hey, God, wait. That's not God. God, I need you, I need you. No, you know, God's sitting there saying, come, come. Look at the scripture. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, all because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us in making us friends of God. It's saying this, while I was still a sinner, while I was still doing life my way, while I was ignoring God, thinking I was God, doing my own thing, God said, I want a relationship with you, and I'm sending my son to get you. That's exactly what he's saying. That I want you to walk with me through life. God's taking the initiative. It's not like it dawned on me all of a sudden, I need God. And God said, well, we'll have to wait a little while. How bad do you need me? When do you want me? See, God wants a relationship with us. He desires that relationship. He wants us to walk with him and to be with him in a relationship. And that's the challenge. See, that's what God really, really wants. See, here's what I believe. I believe if I'm walking in relationship with God, the holiness will take care of itself. If I'm walking 60 seconds every 60 minutes with God, I'm not going to have a problem with holiness. If I'm walking every 60 minutes, 1 minute with God, I'm not going to have a problem with obedience. They're going to take care of themselves. Because I'm in a relationship with God. We're walking together, being together, sharing with one another. We're in a relationship. See, that's what God wants, is that relationship. Look at this next verse. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. He's going to care for me. See, he wants that relationship that he's going to love and care and share. I'm going to ask you, have you ever wanted a relationship that been picked for the wrong team? You remember playing sports and they're picking teams and I don't want to get on that team. That's a losing team. Anybody been in that? You know, I don't want to join that one because, you know, I don't want to be on that team because so-and-so is on the team. Come on. You know? But God is sitting there saying, listen, I've got it all under control. Join my team and I'll take care of you. It's a winning team. It's guaranteed. You know, the one thing I enjoy about the book of Revelation, I've read it, I've studied it. Everybody keeps asking me to teach on it. I don't understand all the imagery in it, but this is one thing I know. In the end, God is on the throne and I'm on his team. I win. Satan loses. I got it made. That's all I really care about. I'm in a relationship with God that means I win. And it's not just about eternal life, okay? It's not just about living forever. See, I don't believe about some paradise on earth, okay? I don't believe in that. I don't believe in some limbo kind of place. I believe there's a heaven and there's a hell. And because of my relationship with God, I'm on my way to heaven. But it's not just about that. What I like about this verse is God's not only going to take me to heaven, he's going to take care of me while I'm here. That's why I pray. That's why I have a relationship with God. Because he's going to take care of me. He's going to watch over me and care for me. And it's up to me. Because here's the challenge. Listen. It's my choice. I can choose to join the team or choose not to. I'm a football fan somewhat. That's a fan. Let's say I'm a football fanatic. You know what a fanatic is? A fanatic is when it's playing and it's going your way, you're okay. When it's not, you don't care. That's me, all right? Yeah. If Dallas wins today, I'm going to be a great fan. If they lose today, I'm going to be fanatic, okay? It's that simple. I want them to win the division. I remember when a player was drafted and he didn't want to play for the team. He refused to sign a contract to play for the team. Because they were a losing team. He refused, and they fought, they argued. Finally, he signs a contract with the Denver Broncos. And it's John Elway. For some of you who watch football, John Elway refused to sign a contract with the team because they were a bunch of losers. That's exactly what he did. And then he finally joined. What I want to tell you is, whose team are you on? Are you still God? I've got it. Are you on God's team? That's the two choices you have. Here's the only two choices you have in life. You can be God or you can be on God's team. Take your pick. And if you're God, good luck. I don't think you're all-powerful, all-knowing, and you can't be everywhere, so you're in trouble. All right? You're just digging a hole. Matter of fact, it's going to be 6 foot one day. You need to have God, and you need to be in relationship with him. Look at what it says here. This is really important. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Come. You know one of the great words in the Bible is that word come? Over and over, God says come. You have to decide. You have to decide that I'm going to sign up for that team. I want to be on that team. I want to be a part with God. I am not God. I want a relationship with God. See, that's why I pray. Because I need a relationship with God. And I'm walking in that relationship. And we want that. You know, and reason the 60-60 thing is coming on because what kind of relationship is it if I talk to him once a week? Hey, God, I'll show up every Sunday for you. Hey, Laura, I'll see you for an hour on Sunday next Sunday. Good luck. You think she's going to buy that? She ain't going to buy that. Yeah. Well, God, I'll see you next Christmas, right? Some of you, excuse me, some people say that. I'll see you Easter, God, 4 months from now. That's that 60. Why should I spend 60 seconds every 60 minutes? Because I want a relationship with God who's going to care for me. And I'm not God. And I need him. But let's take this a step further. Not just a relationship. I want to add the word fellowship. I want to add the word fellowship. As you look at your outline, I want to be in fellowship with God. The Bible has a great Greek word for fellowship. At least they did in the scriptures when it's in Greek. It's the word koinonia. And koinonia is a word that carries the implication of communication, communion, partnership, unity. It's not just this fellowship of potlucks, picnics, and parties, okay? That's not the fellowship I'm talking about. It's talking about a closeness, a unity, a oneness. And that's what God wants. God wants this relationship, not to just be an acquaintance. You know, the positions I serve, and I have lots of opportunities to meet people. I know a lot of people. They were giving me a bad time at the state youth conference. Some of the kids, it's like somebody walks by, oh, hi, Gary, oh, hi. I know a lot of people because of the relationships I have on different committees and different things I've done. I have a lot of relationships. But you know what? I don't have fellowship with them. I just have relationship. We sat on a committee together. The guy that preached, I know his dad. I sat on a committee with his grandfather. I know them. You know, I've known the kid since he was little. He was in a church with my brother-in-law and his wife, Laura's sister. You know, and I've known him. But I don't have a fellowship with them. I have a relationship, but I don't have a fellowship. God wants a fellowship. He wants communion. That's connection. He wants partnership. He wants communication. See, I want to make sure I use this word fellowship. I just want to just say I have a relationship with God. Well, I have a long-distance relationship, a twice-a-year relationship. That's a long-distance one. Do long-distance relationships really work? See, we try to do that with God when we really need to have fellowship with him. Look what the scripture says. We announce to you what we have seen and heard because we want you also to have fellowship with us. Our fellowship is with God and the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. He's saying, we're fellowship with God. Come and join us in this fellowship. Come and become part of this koinonia, this community, this communication, this partnership, this family. Maybe that's a good word to use in here. Come and join in this family. See, that's what God wants. He wants us to be part of a family. Part of his family. Look again at the scripture. God who has called you, you notice that word called again, into fellowship with his Son Christ, our Lord, is faithful. See, God is calling. We have a great word in the scripture as you read the Bible. It's called election. It's chosen. And it's saying God has chosen you and I to fellowship with him. He's called us apart from this world. He's called us together as a people. To fellowship with him and to be with him. See, and that's a challenge for us, and that's God's calling to us. And we need him. We need him. Look again at the scripture. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. It said, make up your mind. Don't play games with me. That's what God is sitting here saying. I know all things. I'm all powerful. I'm everywhere. Quit playing games with me. Make up your mind. Do you want a relationship with me? Are you God? That's exactly what he's saying here. It's like he drew a line in the sand. Anybody ever seen lines in the sand? It's like he drew a line in the sand and he says, listen, you have to decide. Are you God or not? And if you're not God, do you want a relationship with me? The God, the one and only. It's your decision. There's a line in the sand and you have to decide. It's up to you. No one can make that decision for you. It's your decision. If you want to walk with God, it's your choice. There's a line in the sand. I'm going to tell you this morning, there's a line in the sand for you. You look at the mat there, there's lines. See the lines going back? Because they're just different mats. I'm going to tell you, there's a line in your life, and you have a choice. Will you step across that line? Will you join him? Look at this last scripture on this part. I got to open mine up here. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? See, community with God and fellowship with God and relationship with God is up to us. God took the initiative. God sent his son. And there's a line here that you have to decide to cross. There's a decision you have to decide to make. And I'm going to call it a 60-60 decision. Because it's not a long distance, twice a year thing. Christmas and Easter. It's not even a once a week thing. It's not even I'm in a home group and I have a go to church every Sunday. It's not about that thing either. It's about a relationship with God. 60 seconds every 60 minutes. There's a line in the sand. I want to ask you, will you cross that line today? Why do we play games with God and think we're God? Now you might not say, you might be sitting there this morning saying, I'm not God. But if you don't have God in your life, you say you're God. I'm going to be plain and simple. Because you're saying, I don't need him. I'm God myself. Because I don't need him. I don't need his help. Sometimes I do, but I can handle it. I'm gifted. I'm talented. I got it all under control. See, I think a lot of us act that way. We might not think that way, or at least we're thinking that way. But we do. And then some of us, now come on, some of us play games with God. God, when it's convenient. You know, here's the line, God, but it's not convenient right now. It's not easy, God. It's not the right time. I think we play games. And that's why I got this 60-60. I want to challenge us to quit playing games with God and have a relationship and fellowship with God. Because we're not God. That's the line I'm asking you to cross. Some of you might need to cross the line for salvation. Great time at the state youth conference. I'm in the back crying. I have a hard time during the invitation. When you're standing in the back and you watch the kids in mass, some of those in the back know what I'm talking about when you're back there, and you watch the kids fill the altar, 59 kids, I think it was 59, 50 some odd kids, made a first-time profession of faith. That means they're trusting God. They crossed the line the first night there. 50 some odd kids crossed the line. Why not here? Why not now? Why did they do it? The next night they give an invitation on just getting right, like I'm challenging you with everyday living for God. Missions and all the things that God wants to do. And I'm sitting there watching. It looks like over half the kids got up and went forward. I mean, it just watching the chairs empty and just filling the front. I have a hard time sitting there watching that. How often do we play games with God? And see, my challenge is this week, and as we're going to go through this study, is I really want you to have a relationship with him. Because see, here's my deep belief for me. You know, as long as I'm concentrating and walking in relationship and fellowship with God, I don't have time to do the dumb things that gets me in trouble. I'm serious. There's a lot of things out there that can get Gary in trouble. You know, get me behind the steering wheel of the car is the first place to start. There's a lot of things. And I want to challenge us to walk that line, to cross that line, to step across and say, today's the day. Because when we do, I want to spend time with God because I did it again. They're laughing at me because it's twice now I unplugged their speaker. So I'm clumsy. All right. But I want to look at this real quick. I want to kind of wrap up this section with this, because I want to tell you why you need to pray. After you cross the line, this is it. Look at what it says here in the back of your bulletin. First, I need to pray because, you know, he commands it. It is not an option. If you want to have fellowship and a relationship with God, it's a commandment. Prayer is not an option. Look at what it says here. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray. Why don't you circle always? Both those words, always pray. Always pray and not give up. You can go on and read a story. It's a story about a lady that needed some needs, and she kept going to the king, and Jesus was illustrating the point. But always, it's not an option. Prayer is not a... Now see, what's hard for me is when I say prayer, that sounds intimidating. Prayer is just communicating with God. Maybe just communicating with God. It's relationship with God. It's fellowship with God. But we say the word prayer, and it's like, I don't know how. Well, we're going to talk about how the rest of this series. Are you going to need to come back, please? Not for me, for you. Yeah. But it's a command. How do you do it? Will it be silence? Yeah, it can be. I'm going to talk about how can you spend that 60 seconds. You might be sitting there going, well, what do I do during the 60 seconds? I'll give you a hint. This week, if you know nothing else, just say, God, I don't know. I'm just here. And sit there for 60 seconds. Yeah. We're going to give ideas of what you can do. As you look at those titles, we're going to talk about how do you pray for your family? You know, what do you pray? What do you pray when you pray for your family? What do you pray? We're going to talk about all those kinds of. I'm going to give you really just how to do it, because it's not hard. Just the word prayer makes it intimidating. Just think about relationship with God, fellowship with God, being with God. That's what prayer is all about, and it's a command. It's not an option. Next, what do we have here? He protects me. I pray because God's going to protect me. Look at the scripture. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. I pray because, God, I need his protection. Gary, and some of you know me well, does dumb things sometimes. Very, very infrequently, all right? Really infrequent, all right? Please help me, all right? I need God to protect me, not from the world. God's got to protect me from me. I don't know about you, but God's got to protect me from me and the world. All right, what else? I get stuff. Ooh, yeah, I like this one. You want stuff? Pray. You need something? Pray. I pray because I get stuff when I pray. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I literally get stuff. I'm not talking about playing. I get stuff. I mean, I can go down the list of things that God has provided for me. Last year was a good year. I got a lot of good stuff. I'm walking around with an iPhone at the State Youth Conference checking my email. Good stuff. God's good. I pray because I get stuff. If you then, though you are evil, he's talking about all of us, he's saying we're evil. Is anybody here really, really good? We all make mistakes. Know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Pray. You want stuff? Pray. I'm not going to say you get everything. He meets your needs, but he's there. What else? It brings me joy. It brings me joy. When I'm sad, when I'm depressed, I was sharing with Dan this week as I was standing outside. Sometimes life is frustrating. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, sometimes life just seems like it got a baseball bat and beats you a little bit. You know, maybe it's the words from somebody. Comment somebody said at Christmas. A gift that you didn't get that you thought you deserved. You know, just, you know, God brings me joy. When I pray, it changes my attitude. It changes my spirit. Look what it says. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. See, I pray because I want joy. I want joy. What's next? It gives me peace. Look at the scripture. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You need peace in life? You know, people, for so long, man, values on homes. I'll buy me a home. The price is going up. Price is going up. I'll sell it and get a bigger home. And you got to get in the market, you know, and all sorts of, man, I trust my job. Can't have that anymore. Anybody trust their jobs anymore? I trust money in my home. Man, I you know, prices are just going up. Property's worth everything. What do you really trust? I'm going to tell you. The only one you can trust is God. All-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present God. He's the one that's going to bring you peace. What else? It brings me salvation. I mentioned this morning you need to cross the line. And that's my challenge. If you don't know Jesus Christ and you're not in relationship with him, you need to cross the line. And salvation comes through prayer. It's a relationship with God. Look at what it says here. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, call means pray, may be, we'll wait and see, saved. Right? You call on his name, he'll put your name in the book, and you'll see if you get your reservations. You show up at my, you know, you're late, you don't get them. No, you will be saved. We need to reach a point, and this is what I'm saying this morning, you need to cross that line. You need to say, God, I'm tired of playing games. I always say it this way. If you've been in this church any amount of time, you've heard me say this over and over again. Can I make it really plain what a Christian is? You know, a Christian isn't someone, I go to church every Sunday, I'm a Christian. No. If you think that makes you a Christian, listen to me right now. No. Well, I was baptized. I was baptized as a baby. I was baptized as a teenager. I'm a Christian because I was baptized. No. Well, I'm a Christian because I'm Baptist. Yeah. Hold on to that for not very long. I'm a Christian because I walked an aisle in a church. No. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm talking about prayer, but it's really not a prayer that's verbalized. It's your heart. And here's what I say, and I mean this, and you need to listen carefully. Here's what a Christian is. A Christian is someone who reaches a point in their life where they simply say something along this lines to God. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. That's what a Christian is. It's not playing games. It's not halfway committed, halfway not. It's like, God, I know my life is messed up, and if you leave me in control, it's going to get messier. And my life would have been. I was saved at 17 when I made my decision. I crossed that line at 17, and I was living a decent life. I wasn't a bad guy. Yeah. The worst thing I had, if I had to pick it, you know, I did some crazy things, but my vocabulary really had a lacking. The best words I had were four-letter words, and I knew how to use them well. But at that point, I decided, this is not my life. I want something different. And my cousin led me in a little prayer that basically said, God, I'm not going to do it my way anymore. That's a sinner. That's the wrong stuff, and I want to do things your way. Come into my life and take control. I want to walk in a relationship with you. That's what it means to call on the Lord. See, that's the line in the sand that we all have to call across. And so I want to challenge you this morning. Just as that song said, today's the day. Why not now? Why not here? Will you cross that line? If you need Jesus Christ this morning, you need to have a relationship with this morning, cross the line. If you're a Christian and you've already made that decision, you already decided, I've crossed that line. I'm already went across. I've jumped across. I did it 30, 40, I don't know how long ago. I'm not going to tell you my age. It's a long time. But God, I need to walk in relationship with you every day. I can't base my relationship on God with the decision I made at 17. It's a daily walk with God. It's a relationship. It's a fellowship. That's why I pray. That's why you need to be a part of this. Well, you need to be involved in this. And I'm going to challenge you. Will you spend 60 seconds every 60 minutes with God? Will you? Will you, in the busyness of your day, pause just for 60 seconds? To spend with God. If you're a Christian, if this is your day, you got to cross the line. Will you make that decision to spend 60 seconds every 60 minutes? If you don't know what to do, I'm just going to tell you what to do. Say, God, I don't know what to do. I'm just here. Just for 60 seconds, God, whatever. Maybe there's some needs you want to pray about. Maybe I don't know what it is. Whatever it is, you can do that. You want to know how, just come back next week. We're going to kind of go into the process of what you can do and how to do it. But you need to quit playing games and cross the line. Jesus says, come. Will you come? Will you come? To make this easy on you, I have, for every one of you, a timer. I got a little timer. Somebody bought them for us. I got to pay them back. But somebody bought some timers, and I went and bought a few extras. But I got a timer for you. I'm going to give you a timer. And I want you to take this timer, and I want you to set this timer for an hour. My worship team's over here. My worship team, they're mine. I love them. I want you to set this for an hour, and just every hour it goes off. Just every hour it goes off. I want you just to pause and remember God. That's it. Just take this timer. There's a little paper hanging on the back. I was afraid to pull this out because I was afraid it might go off while I was preaching, because I will preach a long time. I didn't want it to stop me. It's been 40 minutes already. And you set it for an hour, and just every hour, just push it. When it goes off, push it, and then just, okay, God, I'm here. That's it. 60 seconds every 60 minutes. Will you cross the line? Will you do it? No game playing. Nothing but a relationship with God. The bottom of the page, I put it real simple. I will make prayer a priority. 60 seconds every 60 minutes. Not a lot, not hard, not complicated. 60 seconds every 60 minutes. Set it for an hour. Take them home, open it up, pull the tab, and set it. I'm already here setting them up. I hear ding, ding, ding over here already. Don't time me right now, please. But I just want you to pray. See, there's not a lot of things I can do, but I can help you be who God called you to be. I can challenge you to the next step in your life. Will you cross the line this morning?